about these video games you've been playing.
What's up with them video games?
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show, 135 for May 28th, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Okay, listen to this. Check this out. Oh, you can't hardly hear it. Hold on. I got to turn all this down. Check this out, everybody. Oh, do you hear that? Do you know what that is? That is my niece, Olive, whose uncle, I guess he's my nephew, my wife's brother's kid.
Right.
Is brand new little 3-month-old baby. And he was sitting there trying to get her to say the word boop, not because of the show, just saying boop, 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 boop to her lip and, you know, poking at her and trying to get her to get her first words out. And her first word on this planet is boop.
God, that's so sweet.
Is that the cutest thing you've ever heard in your life? I dare you to think of something cuter than that because there's nothing. It's the cutest thing. Anyway, that's what that was. And I really enjoyed that. So, Brian, how you doing today? What's going on with you? You all right? You good?
I'm doing good. I'm not nearly as damn cute as that kid, but I'm all right.
Boop, boop, boop. This is what Brian, these are the sounds Brian makes. He does.
Randy.
Filmsack.com, everybody, if you want more of that. All right. Welcome to the Boop Show, everybody. It is good to be back. Man, I got to tell you, dude.
Dude.
That I got a problem here. This is kind of lame that this happened to me, but ESO, Elder Scrolls Online, you may have heard of it, yeah?
I've heard of the Elder Scrolls Online, yes.
Yeah, an MMO tries to, you know, come out and a couple years ago, compete with the likes of World of Warcraft and to a lesser extent the other MMOs that existed in the market at the time, and it was a big deal because this is Bethesda and the beloved Elder Scrolls series moving to an online multiplayer massive environment, and there was a lot on the line there, you know? For fans and MMO fans alike, and it hit, and it didn't hit very well when it hit. It sort of disappointed a lot of people. I think some people were hoping that it would be Skyrim again, but it's not really. It had to be structured differently. It had some neat things about it, like one big fat server that everybody's on at once instead of a bunch of shards where, you know, you never really see your friends if you aren't on the same server. So that's nice, kind of like Eve does it. But it didn't feel like Skyrim and it didn't quite feel like a finished MMO. It kind of felt a little not done or not quite fleshed out, or, you know, it hadn't reached its potential the day it came out.
Right. Were you in the beta?
I was, and I found the beta, maybe like you. Well, I won't put words in your mouth. You tell me what you thought of the beta. What was your impression when you played it?
I was bored.
Yeah. It was boring, right?
Right.
That was a boring beta. And I played enough of it to think that, well, this is probably then, therefore, kind of a boring game. I don't think I want to play this. And it was also, you know, the normal launch stuff, like a little glitchy, and sometimes the server wasn't exactly right, and they had downtimes, and all the other things that happen with games like this. And they were asking for $15 a month, the way that World of Warcraft has for, what, 12 years now? 13 years?
Right, right. That's hard to take my money out of my hand.
It is, especially you. So, Brian, you're a guy that appreciates a good RPG, but I've known you for years, and you don't love paying monthly fees for video games. Not your thing, is it?
No, I've got that money earmarked for groceries.
Yeah,
and so
food, gas, utilities. You know,
Brian needs food badly.
So I totally get where you're coming from, and I think it was a lot to ask players to shift their allegiances to another subscription only game. So some things happened in the intervening time, and I kind of watched it from afar, but I didn't really dabble back in. They moved to a free-to-play model, and that model is one I like. They do like Guild Wars 2. You buy the initial game, and then you just play it. There's no weird, well, if you had the booster and some space points, you could have 8 times the XP, or you could have 4 more character slots, or all that stuff. They don't do that stuff. It is just the game. And it became, you know, free to play, buy once, play is basically, it's a video game. Right. Welcome to the old way video games used to be. Buy the game and play it. That's how that game is now, or when they changed it, that's how it was. it was still missing one other important part in my mind, and that was what I like about Skyrim is it doesn't matter where I go, where I start, or where I go next. The world isn't out-leveling me. The world stays with me. So if I hit level 10, I am getting level 10 challenges, even if I go to a place where normally a level 1 would be. Also something that Guild Wars 2 does. And they announced that they were going to re-release this. They're not re-release it, but release a huge update to the game called One Tamriel. Tamriel being the world that Elder Scrolls is set in. And right. You could start anywhere, go any place, change your mind halfway through a zone, go to a whole nother zone. It wouldn't matter. It wasn't like you were going to go, oh, well, I'm level 10 and here I am in this level 10 content. I better not leave because the level 50 stuff will kill me. It doesn't work that way. You go to where that stuff would be if others are there at level 50 or the way it used to be. Now you just go in there and fight. You're good to go. Level 1 can start anywhere they want. I like that. Have always liked that. That's how Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls series has always worked. It's always been that.
Right.
Same with, what's the other game I'm thinking of? Oh, like Fallout, the other Bethesda games. They all follow the same pattern, right? So it was always weird that the MMO didn't do that. Well, now it does that. That was okay too, but it still didn't bring me back. I thought, I'm going to wane around. And then something happened in the intervening time. It dropped to like $19 on sale. And I thought, I should probably get that so I have it. Because that's barely more than the month you used to pay per month, right? It's like,
right,
no big deal.
$5 more.
Paid for it, had it, didn't install it. Come the last couple of weeks, they've released, I think it may either be fully released or only released to those who are currently playing the game, but they released the Morrowind expansion.
Now, see, you just piqued my interest.
Now, see, because you're a Morrowind fan. You like that game.
I am. That's my jam.
Yeah. You played that game on the Xbox original and had a good time, I'm thinking.
I did.
So that world.
With my big old fat controller, it was awesome.
Your pizza controller, I used to call it.
Right. Pre-S type.
Yeah, that thing is awesome. Beast. But yeah, this Morrowind part of the world, which has been kind of closed off since, and you didn't really see it in Oblivion. You certainly didn't see it in Skyrim. And now it's back in this larger world, plus everything that was already there. And I thought, I probably should get in and check this. Just to see what's up, because the reviews were really strong on Morrowind, and I thought, all right, fine. Let's see what's going on. And then I started noticing websites that rank MMOs and track them. They all currently say ESO is the best MMO on the market, and I'm like, whoa, when did that freaking happen? Like, some of that stuff really surprised me to hear.
Right.
So I got in, and I started a level 1, I don't know what he is, Dragon Knight Warrior Man thing.
Right, that's Dragon Knight Warrior Man thing. Yeah. That's my...
Yeah, it's your favorite class. Come on.
That's my favorite class.
Admit it.
I do.
I did that, and I started playing, and I kind of can't stop now. It is really, really... And I've not even touched Morrowind yet. If I bought it, I could just go straight there and start there if I wanted, but you can start anywhere. That was the whole point of the One Tamriel thing, but I'm all in. It's really, really good right now, and I don't know what changed. I don't know what the magic sauce was. Quests feel really good. Progression feels good. It feels consistent. I'm always getting great new upgrades. I can start with swords and later go, hey, I want to try a bow. I can unlock all the bow skills if I want. There's no limit. It's not like in, you know, Warcraft and other games, it's like, all right, you want to be a mage? Sweet. That's all you can ever do is be a mage.
Right.
This game's like, well, like, what if I want to try 12 different things? You totally can. You can mix and match, basically make your own class, and your race can bring certain bonuses to the table.
But, all right, listen here, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
You and your bow skills. I'm down with that. So is this out yet? Because it says Morrowind release date, June the 6th.
So it's out now in early, not, I wouldn't call it early access because that means something else on Steam now, but it's out early for people who had the game currently. If you had a current account, you could buy it and be playing it right now. So if you've never had that, then you're hosed until.
I think I did. I get that. Would that translate from the beta? I wonder.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm about to find out though.
Yeah, find out because I'm duly impressed, and the story has been great. There've been these amazing cutscenes, and I'm playing old content. I'm not even in the new stuff yet. So they have just tightened it up. Everything feels really good. It feels different than the WoW model now. Like, if for a while there, it was like, well, you're just trying to cram too many WoWisms in this. like control wise and other stuff. And they've stepped away from that and just embraced the whole Elder Scrolls-ness of it. And it feels real good that way. Traveling is cool. I just like everything. I really like it. I can't believe I'm saying this. And the truth is, this is across the board people's reaction lately. This isn't just me. Apparently, everybody's like, whoa, ESO, where have you been all my life?
Whoa, I'm a poet and didn't know it.
Didn't know it. So that's that. And you may want to check it out. Completely
you know,
blown
away. Apparently, I do have one because I just told him to send my password because I can't remember it, of course. So let's see how that works out. This interests me because I abandoned another MMO during this time when a whole bunch of MMOs were popping up, the Star Trek MMO.
Yeah.
But I still see it exist, right?
Yeah,
it
still goes. Still a thing. That one's free to play now.
How's that rating on the MMO charts?
The people who I talk to who are still devoted to that really like it. My guess is it's done fine. I don't know where it is in terms of, you know, who's ahead. I mean, I think WoW will always have the most numbers, but probably right behind them is ESO or maybe Old Republic is still doing pretty good. That game's much improved as well.
That was when I skipped as well. It was such a glut for a short time. It was just like everybody had one.
Yeah, they all wanted to do it. And I think they all realized that we should probably stop chasing Blizzard money and Blizzard success and just try to find our own niches. And I think ESO found it. And it's on console as well as PC. It's on Mac. It's on everything. So they kind of got all their bases covered. And the controller works great in those scenarios. Keyboard and mouse are great for the way I use it. It's got first person combat if you want, or you can go third person like you're used to. It's refined. I guess that's the word. They've had a couple, like all MMOs, they need this. It's just that WoW came out and it was so much better than anything else on the market that it had an advantage that way and kind of took over. Right. But these games, they need, even WoW needs like a couple of years to just sort of figure out what it is, refine its best points, remove some of the things that don't work so well, and then you're left with whatever. I'm into it. So
it sounds like patience is the thing you have to have with MMOs.
You do. Yes, I agree with that. And you also have to have faith that the one that you like is going to get better if you're going to devote your time to it and not be canceled or, you know, closed or something like that. These guys seem very committed. There's new content all the time. They still have a subscription mode if you want that gives you a bunch of benefits and bonuses that don't detract from the normal gameplay, though. There's a lot to like. I like their business model, and I can't stand Old Republic's business model. It's awful. It's free to play, but it's very restrictive.
So is it like the dark side is taking over there?
A little. It's like, well, you want to be a, who are the horned head guys?
The Bacharachs. That's right. You nailed it.
The Burt Bacharachs. Yeah, those are the ones. It's like, well, I want to make a Dark Sith. Well, who can you be? Well, you can be these three races. Well, why can't I be these other five? Well, because you don't pay for that. Oh, well, shit.
That makes me angry.
This game doesn't do that. It's straight
that
up.
That makes me want to force choke somebody real quick.
Yeah. Listen, I'll just say this to the audience. If any of you picked up and tried Guild Wars 2 and you liked both the business model and the content structure, I think this is going to appeal to those people quite a bit because it's kind of that same thing. Whereas, SWTOR kind of went a different way. They were like, well, we're going to nickel and dime and do the whole free to play, you know, 10 different currencies to buy different shit and all that stuff. So anyway, it's good. Bottom line, ESO better than it was before. Also played a load of Battlegrounds, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, I should say, with friends, especially yesterday, John and Bo from the Core Podcast. We got in there. Oh, and Ben Bumhoffer, he played with us as well. That is maybe the most intense thing I've ever been involved with in video games. Outside of maybe a few horror games, the feeling of being like there are only five of us left and being one of 100 people that started.
Right.
And to know that the area you can fight in has shrunk down to a 50 yards place and you're either going to die or win is in freaking tense. And we went in as a squad. So it's me and, you know, three guys, and you're working together and you're on voice comm, so you're paying attention to stuff, and it doesn't matter. You get into these firefights where all hell breaks loose and you feel like you're in a, I don't know, it feels like, what's it like? It's like, what was the thing you and I watched? Red Dawn, the movie Red Dawn, the old Red Dawn movie.
Oh, yes, yes.
It just feels like that. You're one of the Wolverines up in the hills trying to keep the Russians out or whatever. And it just gets so crazy. And you've got crappy gear up there, but the people who just pulled up in a truck might have better gear. And it feels like, you know, such a punch in the nuts. It's basically Clash Royale. It's like a battle royale. It's the Hunger Games. It's 100 of you in a plane. You all drop down on an island. You go find shit and try to kill each other and try to survive.
Right.
And that's the game. That's the entire loop. You get in, you do that. You either die or you win and you get out again. And it's always 100 people. You either are in squads or you're solo. And it is some of the most intense video game time I've ever spent anywhere, ever, ever.
How's your in-flight entertainment going?
It's pretty good. I don't know if you heard, but so when we did this last night, after I took a really nice nap after I helped somebody move, we had Bo with us, and Bo kept getting on public communications and going, "Welcome to Player Unknown's Battlegrounds." That's right. Brought to you by Blue Hole, who's the publisher. And he just kept doing this, and people were like, "Shut up, dude. Get off the stage, dude." Like, people were really irritated, but we were laughing our heads off. We had a really good time. And then there's this, I gotta tell you this little scene. This is a clip up on Twitch somewhere, so people could find this if they want to. But we were down in a tunnel, like a water drain tunnel thing. And things were getting nuts. There's about 22 people left on the map. Four of them are us. And that gets, starts to get a little intense. And for those that don't know, this big ring in the map slowly contracts toward the middle. And you have to try to stay within that ring or you'll die from getting, you'll just get hurt by whatever that blue force field is on the outside.
Right, right.
It's a great gameplay mechanic. It's a little weird story-wise, but it totally works as a way to not have people camp for hours and never have to shoot anybody or get shot.
So it's like some kind of world sphincter slowly closing in on you.
Very good. Very well put. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it starts huge, and then as people die, shrinks in.
Mm.
Or time. It's time-based. I shouldn't say as they die, but kind of they go together. Anyway, it's pretty brilliant. But we get into this tunnel, and we're thinking about going all the way under to wherever the other outside is or the other exit is. And it looked like we were in the clear. Nobody was down there. So I go running down. I go, "Well, I'm going to check around this corner, guys." And as soon as I said the word corner, three dudes who probably didn't know we were there either from some other team come whipping around the corner. And I panic and scream and shoot them all in the head as fast as I could. They get a few shots off, and they injured Bo. So here's the worst part. They injured Bo, which means he's now on all fours kind of crawling, and you have to go over to him and revive him with the F key.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody has to go F him, if you know what I'm saying.
And that's about to say, what a great key to pick for a revive.
I completely agree. So I go over there, and I to me, it looks like one of the other guys crawling, the bad guys, and wasn't quite dead. So I whipped out my pistol or my gun, whatever I had, and I executed him because I thought this was somebody else. And I killed Bo. I killed my own guy. And I felt so bad about
it. Team kill.
But it felt like a movie where that one guy in the group jacks something up in like your survivor group and kills one of them by accident. And now everybody wants to banish him from the team. Like, it was insane. Like, I don't think I've ever had that kind of visceral feeling in a game. Well, not for a long time anyway.
Right.
Maybe the old Counter-Strike days was like that a little bit.
Exactly what it sounded like to me, that Counter-Strike vibe where you just didn't want to do. Yeah, so this is such an intense, visceral experience that you're just your own edge the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. You always
Which makes
don't
you
know.
Make mistakes, which is great.
Yeah, you never know if somebody's looking. You're like in a window. You're like, "Can anyone see me up here?" And then pop in the head and you're dead. Or sometimes you see them moving and you panic and you fire too soon and now they know where they are. And suddenly a truck pulls up with four more guys and they hop out and it just gets crazy and chaotic. And then sometimes you win those fights, you kill everybody, you drink an energy drink and move north. Like, it's great. It's really good. There's a reason that's the number one thing on Steam right now. It deserves it. It's not even that pretty. It's janky. It's new. It's early access. It's got problems on older machines. It's not optimized. Like, all of those things are true. But the gameplay loop that he has mustered out of that thing, he is in Player Unknown, that's the guy.
Right.
Is brilliant. It's just brilliant. It's a lesson in gameplay, and it works really, really well. So people should be playing that if they're not already. $39 on Steam, I think, is the current cost of that.
Why am I not playing? Because I gotta make a decision. I finally got into Elder Scrolls Online, and I'm trying to decide. I do have an account from 2014.
All right.
I can do the Morrowind upgrade for $39.99.
That's true. You can.
Should I?
So that's where I've been. I thought, I'm not giving you my money until I see if the core game is good yet.
I still have a trial. It says I can do the trial.
And now I'm completely into the core game. And I am absolutely going to buy Morrowind. I just will probably not do it until I need to go there.
Right.
Now, if you want to start there, that's different because you can just, you know, start there. But I'm in love with it. It's really good.
I always like that about World of Warcraft, because eventually you get to the point that's like, hey, you know, we got a whole upgrade path here. Just buy this one. You can get everything.
Yeah. And that's true. They do that. And they also give you like a boost for levels. But see, WoW has only recently experimented with the whole do anything you want in whatever order you want. And it's only in the Legion expansion content that you can do that. I think they're going to do that moving forward for good, because I think it makes sense. I think players want it. It may be harder to retrofit it. This is an old game we're talking about. So maybe it's harder to go back in and make that change. But the fact that they pulled that off in ESO, I think, speaks volumes about how committed they are. And it's real strong showing. I'm super impressed. And the story's really good. It's always been good. The story's always been the hot point, right? The best part, maybe. Right. But the fact that the gameplay, the revolving around it, feels so much better these days, I think, is to their credit. So well done, guys. What do babies think? Oh, good. Well, let's move on to this. Let's get into some VR news. Oculus Rift officially is bringing room scale to the VR platform, to their VR platform, I should say. The HTC already does this. Of course, the Vive is a room scale device by default. You put up the sensors and you have a room that you should use. Not that it can't work without it, but it's best used that way. But in usual fashion, what's weird about Oculus, Brian, is they come late with this. Like, their motion controllers, why wasn't that packed in? It makes no sense to me, because now there's no way that people buying those motion controllers are one-to-one purchasers of the headset. Just like if I bought a Super Nintendo, what are the chances of me buying Bob the Robot? Much lower, you know? Accessories are hard, and this will be seen as an accessory by some people. So, I don't know. I mean, I love that Oculus is continuing to
They've been very slow to adopt stuff, right? They're kind of moving a little slower.
Which is weird, because they were the first. They were the guys that were out in front, and they were like, yeah, first real viable consumer level VR coming soon. Here's the Kickstarter. Oh, we got bought by Facebook. Oh, we got all this money now. Like, all that stuff. And yet on the back end, they were third to have motion control, because PSVR and Vive already had it. I mean, you could argue that PSVR is not that great of a motion control with the move sticks and all that, but it's still, you know.
Hey, they're sticking with that stuff too, man.
And it works fine. It's fine. I've used it. It's fine. But, you know, the Vive controllers are great. They're real good. And Oculus came in with some great motion controllers just late. And then the room scale thing. It's like, well, I guess you just sit in your chair and you play stuff with a controller for a while. Oh, everyone else has room scale. I guess PSVR doesn't really have room scale. I mean, it kind of does, but it's just a camera, a single camera. It's not really the way, I mean, it's not the most precise way to do it. But Vive, I'm looking at my two Vive things over here, and they're just standing there staring at the middle of the room waiting for some jackass to be there.
Oh, there you are. Welcome, jackass.
It'll probably be me, you know, rocking it there. But anyway, so they're doing it. It's full 360-degree tracking. This is as of 1.14, as long as you have three Oculus sensors. So you got to have more of their sensors, not just the one. And at the time, I guess, or I think even now, it's still fairly, what's the word, experimental. But if you buy if you upgrade to 1.15 of the Oculus apt.
Yeah.
It introduces full scale compatibility. So it's there. And the tracking's better and all that stuff over the sort of beta version.
You know, for people like me who are late adopters, every time I see them throwing new stuff, it's something that hasn't even been completely tested. I'm kind of like, I can wait.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm all right with that. You know what's trained me well that way is Blizzard. They don't put anything out until they're done. And so when they say something got delayed, or, you know, we don't expect, or when Overwatch got announced, it's like, well, we expect 2 years or something before it's done. I'm like, yeah, all right. You guys, I don't want half-assed. Bring me a finished thing, you know?
Right. And you just mentioned Overwatch. They had their anniversary 1 year this year.
Yeah.
This past week. And I played it for the first time.
Oh, shoot. We need to follow up on this. you said last week you were going to play, and then we never got a chance to play together, but would you, so where are you at? I want to hear, I mean, here we are a year into it. This is your first taste.
Right.
How did you come away from that experience?
Well, I got in a little bit of a rush because I woke up on, I think it was Tuesday, and I was like, oh no, tomorrow's their 1 year anniversary. I don't want to be the guy who waited exactly 1 year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I jumped on that day and I got in and I picked Chappie, the robot. His name's not Chappie. It's Bastion.
Yeah, it is so, Bastion, but I like that.
It's Chappie. Come on. Looks just like Chappie from the movie.
All right.
All right. So I hop in. I play a little bit of Chappie. And you're right. I didn't need anybody to handhold me in this game. It's super straightforward. It's just a, you know, simple, you know, shooter. And, you know, I played kind of the capture the flag kind of thing. Now, you said that before I would be. Yeah, well, it's not really capture the flag. It's more like.
I know what you mean, though.
Defend the post.
Yeah, right, right. You know? It's got mode you're familiar with, sure.
Right, right. And so I get in there, and of course I get wasted right away.
Yeah.
But I did notice that the guys I was hanging out with, there was like two or three level twos and fives, and there was one person that's like 60 or something. I'm like, what are you doing here, hobo?
Well,
and so I followed that person around just to see what happens.
Yeah. He's and probably not that great. He's probably okay. I mean, 60's not actually that high, but I'll tell you what. What you're experiencing there is Blizzard's attempt to match you with other new players. So they try to do that. The problem is every once in a while, it's like, well, we're going to need a sixth guy here. And all we got is level 60 waiting in the queue. I mean, I don't know how they decide, but
and that was the thing. Yeah. I think you're probably right because I thought it was kind of a long wait because it was a full minute and a half waiting in the room going, okay, are we going to start the game or what? Yeah. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, man, I bet I'm like the only person in here that's like level one. So I'm sure they're like having trouble matching me up with some people.
Maybe.
Like,
I mean, that game's so popular. I think they're onboarding people all the time. So I think you're probably okay. You know, the thing is you come to this with a, you know, long line of shooter experience. You played Quake, you played Unreal, you played, you know, Team Fortress, you played all that stuff. You kind of get it. And this introduces some new elements, but for the most part, it's still kind of Quake, you know?
It is still Quake, and it's really Team Fortress. I mean, similar to that, like people have said in the past. By the way, thank you to Zach Lark for getting this Overwatch copy for me and giving me the opportunity to play before
that was nice.
Yeah, right. Before the timeline ran out of 1 year anniversary. And I'm glad I played because if I had waited one more day, it took me about 4 hours to do the anniversary update.
So did you get all the, I mean, you didn't get all the skins that are available, right? I mean, there's like 100 of them.
I haven't peeked in
skins,
yet.
But yeah, you need to look. So the whole thing with that game, we may as well talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
There was some uproar. People were ticked because up till this point, the game has always featured loot boxes. You get a level. Anytime you level up your account, you get a loot box. You go open it. Inside there could be cool skins. It could be rare skins all the way up to legendary skins. Or it could be sprays or voice lines or whatever. And sometimes if you've already got a thing, it could be a duplicate and that'll just give you these credits like, that's kind of their currency, and you can use those later to buy skins you want or whatever. So that's been there since day one. Over time, they'll have special events, the Summer Olympics thing, the Halloween event, the Chinese New Year event. All of these events came with new skins, and you grind those out. A lot of people buy loot boxes so they can hurry up the process, but if you want, you just play and get levels and unlock whatever you get. And when those events end, you no longer have access to that event's special skins. So I got, like, for example, most of the Halloween stuff I got, a few of the Christmas ones I got, most of the Chinese New Year stuff. It just sort of depended on my playtime. And now there's this 1 year anniversary where they have special skins, again, that'll only be there shortly. But as it stands right now, because of how much other stuff could possibly pop in those boxes, they're harder and harder to get. And so your chances of getting everything are much, much lower, which means you either need to spend much, much more money or play 100 hours of Overwatch to unlock them all.
So you're saying I better hurry the crap up.
I'm saying that the sooner you and me and everyone else that I like decides not to worry about it, the better you'll be. Because you can go nuts and be a collector hog and, you know, spend $50 every month on loot boxes to try to get everything. That's one way to do it. That's a great way for Blizzard to make money. I have no problem with any of it. But my method is this. I am in that game to play it. I like that I can see different skins and that I'm wearing something cool and that it took a while to earn it. I like that. I'm a big fan of the e-peen, you know, get out there and show your e-peen, but I don't want the game to become that and secondarily a shooter. I want to go shoot stuff. I want to play. I want to have a competition. I want to have a laugh. I want to have a good time, and I want to have another round. And that's how I'm approaching Overwatch these days. If I get the skins, great. If I don't, it doesn't matter. It's okay.
This sounds like it is going down the TF2 route. I know that there's a trading system, you know, that Blizzard often uses. Mm-hmm. There's not really a trading system yet, right?
No, not in the game. Overwatch. No. I mean, they could do that, but I don't.
Right.
I have I have a feeling if they did that, they would. I mean, you're not wrong that they could. Will they? I don't know. Like trading makes sense to me on some level, because maybe you get a Tracer skin you don't want because you don't play Tracer, and I get a Bastion skin you want because you like Bastion.
I like Chappie.
Well, it'd be great if you and I, me and yeah, Chappie and British Girl, maybe right. The two of us could do some sort of swap. I think that makes sense, but I don't think Blizzard wants to get into that weird, nebulous legal world of trading that is currently plaguing Valve on both Dota and TF2 and everything else. Or
is it financially advantageous? Is the question
for them? Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, I think it is now already. They're making a lot of money. They are a billion. Right. That game. The news was what, a month ago. The game is now a $1 billion game.
Yeah.
So they have made. They took the $115 million loss that was supposed to be Titan that they canceled. Mm-hmm. They took those assets, those ideas, made a shooter called Overwatch, and it is now worth $1 billion in profit or in money or valuation, which makes that $115 million look like nothing. So I don't think they're that worried about it. I think they're fine. I think enough people are paying for loot boxes and buying the game outright anyway to make plenty of money for Overwatch, and they have lots of plans for the future. I don't think they need to do anything else. I think
But imagine how disappointed you're going to be when you, 5 years from now, they're going, oh man, I wish I had that legacy loot box because that's worth 6 million Overwatch Chappie points.
Yeah. But if you had all your but see, this is the thing though. They don't want to create an auction like atmosphere where we're all basically eBay for each other. They learned their lesson from Diablo. Remember that whole mess?
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, that sucked. And it sucked for lots of reasons. I knew a guy, I know one guy who paid for his car through the Diablo auction house.
I knew a guy. It was you, wasn't it?
It wasn't me. I wish it was. I'm not that smart with this stuff. But that's what happens. People min-max. They figure out a way to game the system. And before you know it, they're like weirdly rich from it.
Right.
I don't think they want to get into that. It's a legal mess for Valve right now. The state of Washington is going after them for gambling laws that they... You know, they say they've got nothing to do with, but the CSGO skin trade, gun skin trade thing is like a big gambling mess. And so I don't think Blizzard wants to do it. I think they will always err on the side of we'll make great content people want to buy, not great content people want to hoard and trade and
hoard
and dink with. So who knows? Who knows? But it's gone well. And I'm real curious how your continued time with it would be. But I would approach it as progression is great, levels are great, boxes are great, but what I'm really there for is some of the best team play shooter you're ever going to have.
I did have a lot of fun.
That's so good. Yeah, and keep playing it. Don't stop there. Keep going, man.
I'll tell you, though, but I went from Bastion, who's kind of a, you know, prey and spray kind of a character, and then I jumped over to, what's his name? Oh, what? No.
Newt, Larry, Bill.
The samurai.
Which one? Hanzo. Are you a Hanzo main now? People make fun of you. Hanzo main.
I love Hanzo.
Yeah,
but I went from Bastion. I said, who else should I play? Oh, I've seen the Hanzo trailer. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Let me try him. Yeah. Now that is like two polar opposite type of characters, because I'm running around trying to very carefully only shoot people one at a time.
Yeah, and also, by the way, that's one of the brilliances of the game, is that no character out of those 20 whatever characters is even remotely the same.
Right.
Well, except that, you know, some might shoot something, but that's it. Like everything else about them.
They're split into categories.
Yeah. They're not only just categories, but like, you know, Tracer's an assassin. Soldier 76 is an assassin.
Right.
Or not assassins. What do they call them? Whatever it is. But neither of them.
Soldierish.
I guess they're just damage characters. I forget how they classify them now. Anyway, there's tank, there's support, and then whatever they are. They could not be more different. Tracer and Soldier 76 have zero to do with each other, yet they're in the same category. Reaper is totally different than Junkrat. Junkrat could not be more different than Roadhog. Like, they're all different.
I tried to play Junkrat, and I made a big old mess.
Oh, dude, I love Junkrat. He's one of my... He's probably... If you were to put a gun to my head and say, Scott, you can only play one character for the rest of your life, maybe Junkrat. I love him. Oh, my gosh.
It was so limited to what I did. You know, it was everything that I had with him loaded out was just the grenades. Yeah. And so I was making a big mess because I was playing team, and I was just making a huge... Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're just new.
Sorry about that.
You're new. You'll figure it out. And you're not hurting anyone on your team because there's no team damage, but you'll... Yeah, you can make some chaos with him, that's for sure. But keep playing it, dude. I don't want you to just a taste here. I want you to go deep.
Digging deep, baby. Yeah. I'm going to play again Tuesday.
Put it all the way.
Tuesday's my game night, apparently.
Oh, it is? All right.
Apparently.
I'll take it. We have some news about Far Cry 5. First trailer reveals the release date and the theme. The theme is, a lot of us were hoping it was like Old West. That's not what it's going to be.
We don't need that right
now. It's set in Montana, and it is called Far Cry 5, and it looks like an American doomsday cult is the bad guys you got to deal with. This is a treacherous water, dude. This is a slippery slope business because it's set modern day, and you got people who are... I feel like they're trying to make a political statement that could work, but it may backfire. I don't know. There's already people mad about it. Let's put it that way.
Do we ever not get mad about game releases anymore?
We get mad about everything. It's just the way it is. We're all mad all the time. I'm mad right now, and I don't even know why. no, you're not wrong. I mean, everyone gets mad about everything. It sucks. But I prefer to see what the game's actually like before I make judgments. Some people are making judgments. All I know is it sounds really interesting as a backdrop. So I'm totally into it. I'm caring more about this Far Cry announcement than I am any Far Cry since 2. Mm-hmm. I 3 was pretty great. 4 was the same as 3. Primal was weird. And this one, which is 5, is the first one that's really grabbed me. So this is actually going to be true of both this and I think the new Assassin's Creed, which looks like it's set in ancient Egypt. That's interesting to me. Like, that's enough for me to go, oh, I'm back in it. All right, I'll play your Assassin's Creed. And I will play
really
your Far Cry 5.
I'm interested in the planes in this Far Cry 3. So is that going to be like a Cessna, you know, like a crop duster, or is it going to be...
Well, the games have always had vehicles. My guess is the planes will be sort of the random sort. It'll be like playing GTA, kind of just sort of, well, I'll take this one. I mean, who knows in the story, but assuming there's a multiplayer or co-op element, the planes will just be, you know, there, things you can fly. But yeah, like, it's all set in Montana. It's all sort of backwater, out of civilization stuff. There is a cult that's sprung up that I guess is whatever. And you got to go in there and whatever. That's all we know. We don't know much else.
You're supported on your journey by Pastor Jerome, an African-American priest who has lost his flock to the cult.
Yep. It's set in the fictional town of Hope County, Montana. They get to create their own character, a junior deputy, and then set out to take down the religious cult Eden's Gate, it's called. You're supported on your journey by Pastor Jerome, like you said. And let's see. Mary May is a bartender with a penchant for flammable cocktails.
Molotov, maybe.
And Rick Rye, a pilot who wants to create a better future for his child, are also featured in this story. Here are the other things that we know. It's the first Far Cry game set in America. We knew that. It's available on PS4 Pro and Project Scorpio, as well as Xbox One and PS4 normal. PC as well. You can play the entire story solo or two-player co-op. That's new. You can fly planes, take part in aerial dogfights. Vehicles include American muscle cars, ATVs, boats, and big rigs.
What?
Yeah. Weapons include guns, grenades, sledgehammers, baseball bats, that sort of stuff. You can recruit other people to fight for you, so there's some sort of companion thing going on there. You can recruit animals like bears and cougars. So...
I look forward to slamming a bear in his head with my sledgehammer.
Yeah. Every year I go to a conference that's nothing but bears and cougars, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Bears and cougars and sledgehammers.
Yeah, there you go. There's a map editor that will have new features that add new dimension to content created by fans. So some kind of content creation stuff. Yep, that'll be cool. Not since Far Cry 1, I don't think, has there been a map editor? Because Far Cry 1 had a bunch of mods and stuff you could do. way favorite. Back in the day. PS4 players are getting free Far Cry 5 skin packs at launch, so that's a deal they're making with them only. And Ubisoft Montreal is leading the development with support from Ubisoft Toronto, Kiev, Shanghai, and Ubisoft Reflections, all high-quality studios. Anyway, Far Cry 5, coming soon, should be good, could be bad. I hope it's great. Brian, what if I told you Blizzard might be working on a brand new mobile title for phones and tablets based on the new based on the Warcraft universe somehow, that is not their current Hearthstone game, but something totally different and previously unannounced? What would you say to that?
I would say about freaking time.
That's what I'd say. I'm all in for more mobile content from Blizzard, and they have made it no secret in the past that they have all kinds of ideas. There's a new job posting that may have just revealed what the next company's game might be, and even if it's just one of many games in the future, this one looks to be mobile. They'll probably announce it at BlizzCon, which I'll be at, and I'll be happy to talk about then. But anyway, this was discovered by NeoGAF user Nerolac. Doesn't that sound like a laxative or something?
Nerolac. When you can't pass it, yeah. Take Nerolac.
Yes. Don't wait. Call now. There is an opening for an FX artist, and it says here, it specifies that the project will be for mobile devices. Description is otherwise pretty generic. However, one interesting nugget located in the job requirements, quote, a passion for creating imagery synonymous with the Warcraft IP.
I have a passion for that. Synonymously.
What do you say you want? What do you think it is that you want out of a Warcraft mobile game that isn't already Hearthstone? What else could they do that you would want to play?
Oh my God. I don't know, because Blizzard always brings something this better than I could have imagined.
Yeah, you might say they bring their milkshake to the yard and you're like, it's better than yours, right?
They really do. But you know what I really hope from this? I hope this is a big old psych out. We're just going to start posting weird job postings just to mess with all of you.
Well, it's not unheard of. It's a good way to distract people. Sure.
Looking for someone who has a passion for creating imagery synonymous with porn.
Yeah, with porn, with horse porn.
With horse porn.
Give us an email. Let us know. Send us your CV. That was for your Europeans there. You call it your CV. Yeah.
Send nudes.
This doesn't guarantee anything about Warcraft Mobile in terms of like WoW or anything weird like that. It could be a RTS. It could be a million things. Some people want it to be a pet battle game, sort of, which has always been sort of Pokemon anyway.
Right.
And that's currently in Warcraft, so why not bring it
to
mobile?
That would be smart.
I kind of agree. I would play it more. I know that. I don't play it in WoW now, but I'd play it mobile. I'd take a match 3 gem game. I don't care. Whatever. Just make it, Blizzard. This is what Blizzard said.
I would be most disappointed if it was a match 3 game. Well, I love match 3 games.
Yeah, I do too.
I would just be disappointed.
I would be too. It seems a little too easy in the current climate of match 3 games, but...
Right.
Mike Morheim last year, of course, CEO of the company and founder, said this is a huge opportunity on mobile, that Blizzard's last mobile game would likely not be Hearthstone. He said this in the further quote, I think we are always looking at everything. We play a ton of games here and we're always brainstorming on new ideas. I think that people still haven't really figured out what the killer app is for mobile. I think there is a huge opportunity there. We certainly have so many people with these powerful gaming devices in their pockets. They're all rocking around with every day. I feel like there's a lot of unexplored ground still, unquote. I agree.
Absolutely. Now, so it's hard to say that anything has reached as many people as Pokemon Go. That thing is just, that just reached everybody, right?
For a while it did. I mean, now it's still got an enormous user base even today. But yeah, it burned its candle real quick in the early days. Okay, hold on. Let's talk about that. What if this is a Warcraft-themed get out and run around and collect shit game in the vein of Pokemon Go? How would you feel then?
It's according to how the quests work. I got to walk up to random people with question marks over their heads.
Then you're in.
Yeah, I'm kind of in. It's according to what they want me to collect.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know if that's it, but that's interesting. Another possibility. Ooh. What?
Right. Oh, I would like to, like, if it allow you to geolocate your pets and try to locate those. Those would be fun.
That'd be all right. Just go straight pet battle go or whatever.
Yeah.
How about this one? How about they make a turn-based RPG strategy game for the Warcraft universe that is like, Heroes of Might and Magic. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, okay.
Where all you right. have, you know, guys in the back, guys in the front, move three squares. He has this ability to backstab, whatever. Make me a really well thought out mobile turn-based strategy game. Oh, man. I've always wanted that from them. I've always wanted it, and they've never done it. So here's a time you could do it.
Satisfy Scott.
Yeah, satisfy me. That's all I want in this life. And also, if you're listening to the show and you have ideas about what you think Blizzard's big mobile game should be, email us, boopshow@gmail.com. All right, well, this is interesting news. Microsoft's, I don't know if you even knew this, Microsoft has a Twitch competitor in the making. Did you know this?
I actually did know this.
All right. They've given it a new name, gave it a co-streaming feature and some other stuff. It's a big day for Microsoft's live streaming service, Beam, B-E-A-M.
I preferred Beam.
Beam.pro, right? Wasn't that the thing?
I believe it was.
What's it called now? Where'd the name go? I lost the new name.
Now its new name is called Mixer.
Oh, there it is. I don't like
That's
it.
That's stupid.
It's called Mixer now. They say it will bring in a world of new possibilities for the service. Whatever. That sounds like hokum to me.
Right.
Starting with the name change, Beam will now be called Mixer, and blog post co-founder Matt Salzamente, Salzamendi. Really?
Wow. I don't know. All Salzamendi.
Right. All right. Well, that's probably it. I think you got it. Yeah. Salzamendi. Said it wasn't he the bad guy in the Watchmen comic, Salzamendi?
That was him. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right.
He said it was a tough decision to change the name, and speaking to GameSpot, he explained the new name aims to reflect how the service aims to bring people together. They're going to say
they should
AIM.
Call it AIM.
They should say AIM a few more times. Yeah. Right. Yeah, let's call it AIM, and then AOL will sue them and say, hey, that's AOL Instant Messenger. Let's see. Overall, he says it's a better name, better brand for the platform going forward.
No, it's not.
I disagree. Beam.pro is kind of rad.
It was. I really dug it, and I think but of course, I hated Steam, so... Why can
they
do?
They also say that they want to expand to all major global markets, and that's something we could not do with the Beam name. Why?
Must be a world name market thing.
Well, like Beam and someone look it up. Is like Beam in Arabic like penis face or what?
I hope so.
Or whatever language. I don't know.
Beam meaning in Hindi is the first thing that comes up. Let's see what that means.
Okay.
Bubba doo bat doo boo doesn't tell me what it means.
It says beep.
A balance beam.
It means beep.
It means beep.
Beep. Let's see. Beep. No, I don't want beep. I want beam. It's giving me beep for some reason.
Yeah, let's get into it. Spanish. Let's see what it means in Spanish. Okay. He was beaming. But that's not what that means. Google, you're failing me.
Yeah, they kind of are today. What's going on with that? Lame. Anyway, it's going to change, so get ready for that. I haven't actually used it yet. I've heard some people who really like it, and have been very impressed with it. The low latency is supposed to be a big kicker here. It's like 2 or 3 seconds instead of a minute or whatever Twitch's buffer is.
Right.
I like Twitch, and I like directions Twitch is going. But I do think that market could use some competition, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It'll make them perform better, too. And certainly YouTube Gaming wasn't it. Did you ever use that even once? That freaking thing, that was nothing but trouble for me. I hated it.
I used it for half a second, and I was like, man, these people are... I'll tell you about YouTube, man. That's the most profane place you've ever been in your life on YouTube. Twitch is like an angel darling compared to...
Kinda.
To the people on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is... I guess they're both stored, but YouTube is like, if you're doing a permanent YouTube video, you've got the comment problem, right? And that's where people get to be the worst of humanity. It's real bad. But on Twitch, it's all, well, who's bad in the chat room right now? And most chat rooms have some mods who can then chuck those people. So I feel like Twitch has a better ecosystem to support that than, I agree with you. I totally agree. Because if you're doing a YouTube gaming thing, sure, you got the chat room problem there, but then you've also got permanence because the VOD is basically a YouTube video now.
Right.
My problem with that is with YouTube gaming is I felt like they never really had their heart in it. I feel like they were half-ass in it and just sort of saying, you can do games over here too, guys. Check it out.
You know what? You can just, here they are.
Yeah, here you go. Amazon,
good luck.
Amazon sucks. Okay, gotta go. Bye. Like that. Beam. Dot Pro changing to Mixer.
I just don't like Mixer. It just sounds, maybe it'll grow on me. I'm going to give it a chance. I'm not going to hate on it. I'm not going to hate, Scott.
They should have made it rhyme with Twitch, like bitch or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Flitch, Gitch, Mitch.
Glitch, that would have been great.
Just Mitch.tv, some guy named Mitch. I would stream over Mitch in a heartbeat.
I'd stream over Mitch every day of the week, man. Yeah,
I would.
You can catch me on Mitch.
I would totally do that. Yeah, hey, everybody. Check me out on Mitch. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'll be on Mitch.tv all weekend. Thanks, everybody. All right, we're going to get out of here. Before we do, though, an email from, let's see, this is from Zachary.
Zachary.
He's on the Suramar server in World of Warcraft. He sent this to boopshow@gmail.com. That's where you can send your emails. And it goes like this. Hello, Scott and Brian, longtime Frog Pants listener. Since Randy was on the instance and ELR was wrapping up, that's a long time ago. What, 2007, I guess.
Yeah, old stuff.
Love all your shows. I was listening to Boop 131 and wanted to see if you'd heard of an FPS progression system back in the Half-Life 1 mod days with the name of Firearms. I do indeed. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
I remember Firearms. I remember not playing it much, but I remember it existing. The problem was in the early Half-Life days, I was part of a team that was making a mod called Infiltration, and I just did like web and PR stuff for them. And some comics, and my first podcast ever was a show called Infiltration Radio before there were podcasts. It was like 99 or something. So I was already kind of knee deep in that. So anything else that came along, it felt like I was cheating if I went and played that. But I'd forgotten that it did feature some progression stuff in there. It had kind of a leveling system. And yeah, I mean, his whole point in this email, he goes on to say this, is I think it's another example of a modding community coming up with ideas that eventually are being used by AAA developers, intentional or not. I thought you'd be interested. Keep it up, Zachary. Zach, you're absolutely right. In fact, Infiltration was the first video game, certainly mod, maybe game ever, that had iron sights where you could pull the gun up to your eye and look down the barrel.
Cool.
That seems ubiquitous now. Every game does that now. Well, right. Not every game, but a lot of games, you know, Call of Duty and all that stuff, they all do that. But back in the day, unheard of. So absolutely. It's one of the things I love about the modding community. I think Brian probably agrees, since you've been involved in that stuff for as long as I have. Mods and ideas from the community and maps and stuff. Like, the entire Dota, League of Legends, Heroes of the Storm, MOBA world wouldn't exist without a mod to Warcraft 3.
Right.
Entire games.
And where
would
TF2 be without Quake mods?
Yeah, and where would Quake mods be without... Well, no, now we're back to Quake. But yeah, you know what I mean? I totally agree. Zach's right. And it's great to see.
And I go to moddb.com just about every week.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, love that stuff.
You're into it. If you want to send your own emails to us, you can. That's boopshow@gmail.com. That's the address. You are welcome to send it to anytime, all the time, every time. I think that's going to do it for us, dude. You got anything else you want to add? Anything you want to...
Tuesday night's game night for Brian. Yeah. Going to do it. Yeah.
Are you going to stream? You gonna stream that? You gonna let people watch it?
Yeah, I did last week, so I'll probably do it again.
Okay. Hey, maybe I'll play with you. When are you gonna play that night?
I usually play around 6:30 on Tuesday nights.
All right, I'll be in touch. We'll see if we can get that happening. I have to do core that night. But other than that, it's all right. It's all good. We'll figure it out. We'll figure something out. The website to go to is frogpants.com/boop. That's frogpants.com/boop. Boopshow@gmail.com. is once again our email address. You can find us on Twitter @BoopShow, @TheBrianDunaway, and @ScottJohnson. And big thanks to the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra for our music today. Support us at patreon.com/frogpants if you like this show and others like it at frogpants.com. And of course, you can go to boopshow.reddit.com for our Reddit page specifically for this show.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to do it for us, for me, and for Brian. We'll see you next time. Bye, Brian.
Bye, Scott.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.